Corporation, world's largest radio manufacturer, presents your Radio Hall of Fame. From the beautiful Earl Carroll Theater Restaurant in Hollywood, today and every Sunday for one full hour, the stars made great by your recognition of their achievements are brought to you by Philco Corporation, makers today of radar and electronic equipment to help win the war, makers tomorrow of products for good living in a world at peace. Today's recipients of acclaim in your Radio Hall of Fame are Judy Canova, Janet Blair, and the Duffy's Tavern program, which will be represented by three of its principal members, Eddie Green, Charles Cantor, who plays the role of Clifton Finnegan, Fred Lowry, and Bob Graham. And then, of course, there's our own Paul Whiteman. As to our master of ceremonies, anything we can say about him would be just so much unnecessary alfalfa. You know his qualifications already. And all we have to do to justify his being honored by you this afternoon is to say, here he is, that refugee from a foxhole, the star of America's most popular radio program, Bob Hope.
Let's not overdo it right at the start, huh? How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Philco Hall of Fame Hope telling you that your best bet is to buy the best in tubes that you can get, and you'll always have a good set. I thought that was a sneaky way to get my plug in there, too. But here I am broadcasting for Philco from Earl Carroll's Theater, and they really have beautiful girls here. In fact, they're so beautiful that instead of bringing you dessert, the waiters just go around and tuck your eyeballs in for you. A couple of weeks ago, I was on the March of Dimes program. Last week, I was on the air for Pepsodent. And tonight, I'm broadcasting for Philco. Yes, sir, I don't believe in putting all my eggs in one network. That's the finish. But radio is really a wonderful thing. I dialed my radio last night, but I guess I must have dialed it too far, because when I got through, John's other wife was a sniper in the Russian army, and H.V. Kaltenborn was loading her gun for her. But I just got back from a trip east, and it's really great to be in California again. Where else can you get such a nice chap suntan? Of course, we never see snow on the ground in Los Angeles. The Chamber of Commerce catches it before it lands, makes snowballs, and throws them at San Francisco. We went to a lot of the Army camps throughout the East. We went to some camps that were so small, the commanding officer was a PFC. I won't say I traveled a long way, but twice I passed the big three. And Eleanor. But I... I also did a show on the banks of the Mississippi around Memphis. Old Man River went by holding his nose. And while I was in Tennessee, the tobacco heiress got married to the Cotton King. They're going to settle down and raise pipe cleaners like Frank Sinatra's mother and father did. I travel a lot by train, too, and the trains are really crowded these days. I got a ticket in Memphis which read Section 2, Car 54, Upper 7, Layer 4. There's nothing like this wartime travel. I don't know how jammed the train was, but when we passed some beautiful scenery, everybody exhaled at the same time and the windows became ball turrets. You see, they exhaled and blew the windows out. I figured on a much smarter audience this afternoon. What'd you do, just get off the bus or something? And all the trains are behind schedule these days. In fact, the chief came in so late the other day, instead of a caboose, it had a papoose. And people are really willing to sleep anywhere in a train nowadays. I walked in a washroom and spit at the cuspidor, and it spit back. There were a lot of soldiers in the dining car, and boy, can those guys eat. They ate everything in sight, then they started looking at the civilians. I got a wonderful reception, though, in New York. When I got off the train, Mayor LaGuardia stepped up and slapped me on the back. He can't reach very high, can he? Why didn't I open with that joke, you silly boy? What a silly man! We went to New York. They got a fuel shortage back there, and that's pretty tough for a guy who's used to making pictures with Dorothy L'Amour. But people will do... Don't want it, huh? People will do anything to keep warm. One guy used to object to his daughter sitting on the sofa with her boyfriend. Now he comes down and gets between them. And the New York hotels are really jammed. I stopped in one hotel lobby to get some cigarettes and was so crowded I couldn't straighten up again. And the housing situation in New York is tough. They did give me a place in one hotel. I can't tell you just what kind of accommodation it was, but if it was in an army camp, that's where all the rumors would start. Thank you very much. We get that, don't we, men, huh? Say, in our bout at Duffy's, tonight we next off with a singer on Duffy's Tavern, Bob Graham, who, when he was in the Army, was featured vocalist with the Army Air Corps Band, directed by Glenn Miller. Bob has educated his tonsils so well that in a poll conducted by over 300 college newspapers, he was elected the outstanding singing discovery of 1944. At present, he is under contract to Paramount Studios, producer of Here Comes the Waves. How'd that get in there? They think... Oh, Lardhead is in that, isn't he, huh? They think the boy really has it, and so do we. And judging by the fan letters you write him, so do you. Bob Graham, singing How Deep Is the Ocean.
And if I ever lost you, how much would I cry? How can I tell you what is in my heart? How can I measure and every part? How can I tell you how much I love you? How can I measure just how much I do? How much do I love you? I'll tell you no lie. How deep is the ocean? How high is the sky? How many times a day do I think of you? How many roses are sprinkled with you? How I travel to be where you are. How far is the journey from here to a star? And if I ever lost you, how much would I cry? How deep is the ocean? How high is the sky? Would I
Graham, and here's Jimmy Wallington with some well-chosen words about Philco radios. Take it up, Tim.
Say, since you've won so many awards for your work in radio, Bob, maybe you'd like to hear about another star radio performer.
Competition, huh?
No. No, Bob, your best supporter. Because more people listen to your program and every other program, including the Radio Hall of Fame, on a Philco radio than any other make. Philco was America's favorite radio for 12 straight years before the war.
That's a champion in any language, including the Scandinavian.
You sure know your killer cycle, pal. The interesting thing is that today, even though Philco has been busy on radar and other war work for over 3 years, Philco is still overwhelmingly America's favorite radio. Yes, in poll after poll among people who plan to buy a new radio or radio phonograph, Philco has been named first by an overwhelming margin. Actually, on the average, it's Philco by 3-1 over any other radio.
That sure accentuates the positive, Jim. Sounds as though plenty of people want to buy a new Philco.
Philco engineers, who have a reputation for leadership in the major improvements made in radio and phonograph design, are taking this tremendous Philco popularity as a challenge, Bob. They plan to bring you the finest Philco radios ever built, greater than ever in all the qualities that won Philco pre-war leadership. Glorious beauty of tone, more lifelike and powerful performance, new charm of cabinet styling, new features to delight your eye and ear. After victory, plan to visit your Philco dealer for that new radio or radio phonograph you've been waiting for. A Philco, famous for quality the world over. And now the Dean of Modern American Music, the maestro himself, Paul Whiteman.
Hey, Hope, how come you let Jimmy give me the old build-up? You're emceeing in this show.
Well, you see, Paul, it seems like everybody who's ever introduced has worked with you before, and I haven't, well, I didn't know exactly what you'd done.
You don't know what I've done?
Well, as a point of information, what have you done?
Whatever. Well, for one thing, I introduced the Rhapsody in Blue.
Some little piece nobody ever heard of, huh?
Some little. Say, did you ever hear the Battle Hymn of the Republic?
Yeah, but don't tell me you introduced that. What else have you done, Paul?
Well, a lot of famous people are Whiteman alumni.
Whiteman alumni? You make yourself sound like a college.
What's wrong with that?
Well, you're built more like a university. Say, who are some of these famous people who have played with you, Paul?
Well, when I tell you, you'll apologize for your ignorance. There are the Darcy brothers.
You're right, I apologize.
And Johnny Mercer.
I do apologize.
And I was responsible for Crosby.
Now you're apologizing. Well, let's stop the kidding, Paul. Everyone, including yours truly, knows that you're to music what Philco is to radio. What's on the music menu now?
Our Now and Then, Bob. That's when we play an old tune the way it was dished out when it was published a way back. With plenty of schmaltz and the old slide whistle and Mike Pingator winding up on the banjo. Then we switch to an up-to-the-minute 1945 edition of the same tune. And our Now and Then for day is Linger a While. You've got it, boys. Take it.
Love it. That was jazz. That went out with Crosby's clothes. And now the modern version of Linger a While.
Okay, Paul.
Paul Whiteman, this afternoon on your Radio Hall of Fame, you and Philco, in honoring Duffy's Tavern program, we installed two characters from this ether show in the Hall of Fame's Chamber of Popular Radio Programs. The first is Clifton Finnegan, portrayed by radio's most versatile actor, Charlie Cantor, who in 15 years of network performance has played everything from comedy to serious drama. Fred Allen fans will remember him fondly as Mr. Nussbaum and Socrates Mulligan, characters he enacted on Fred's show for 10 years. The other Duffy's Tavern standby is Archie's jack-of-all-trades and master of fun, Eddie the Waiter, in the person of Eddie Green. Eddie has starred in those Negro classic comedy sketches called Heroes or People on the old Maxwell House Showboat. He was featured in the Broadway hit The Hot Mikado and has been in numerous other stage shows and motion pictures. So let's accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and don't mess with Eddie Green, at least not with his introduction. Instead, let's have the man himself and, of course, Finnegan. Well, well, Eddie the Waiter and Clifton Finnegan, welcome to the Hall of Fame.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, Eddie. Who is this character here?
Ain't this a Finnegan? That's the famous personality you hear on the radio every Tuesday night after Fibber McGee, you know? You know who it is, don't you?
Don't you? Now I know.
Yeah.
Hello, Hildegard.
Just the way I wear my hair. But it's no, it's good to see you both again. I remember the last time I ate in Duffy's Tavern. Eddie, I think you waited on me.
That's right, Mr. Hope, yes. And it is an old custom whereby the party of the first part leaves a tip for the party of the second part, you know.
Well, I left a tip. You should have looked under the plate.
I did. All I found under that plate was made in China.
Well, my autograph was right next to it.
You never mind what Eddie says. I like you.
Thanks.
Oh, that's all right. I'm pretty much of a dope.
Well, don't worry about it. A few more years of this manpower shortage and your type will catch on, too.
Yeah. Then we'll both be in the clear.
Tell me, Eddie, what are they featuring on the menu today at Duffy's?
Pig's knuckle.
Tomorrow?
Pig's feet.
Call me when you gain a little altitude.
And then, Mr. Hope, now, Archie, see, the manager of Duffy's Tavern, he sent Finnegan and me here as emissaries.
Archie sent us here as, like Eddie said,
Clifton, you should be ashamed. Any kid that reached the third grade can pronounce that word.
Oh, yeah? Can you pronounce it?
Well, so Archie sent you boys here as go-betweens, huh?
Yeah, you see, right after the Academy Award dinner, we expect to get a big crowd down our place, and Archie would like to hire you as an entertainer.
Oh, no, I'll probably be busy that night. There's a rumor started that I'll win the Academy Award.
Huh. How you know?
I started it. Anyhow, why couldn't I win the Academy Award? After all, 6 million people saw me in my last picture.
Mr. Hope, 6 million soldiers eat beef on a shingle and it still ain't popular.
I like it.
My last picture?
No, beef on a shingle.
What you say, Mr. Hope, it's going to be a big night to see at Duffy's, and you were the first one we thought of as an entertainer.
Yeah. Besides, we couldn't get Crosby.
You mean you contacted Storkbait ahead of me?
Oh, no. See, Finnegan is the only crooner at Duffy's, you know.
Finnegan, a crooner. Clifton, what makes you think you're a singer?
I got a punctured eardrum.
I have one from listening to Bing's records. Now, if I do come down to Duffy's to entertain, what stipend do I get?
Now, if stipend means what I think it means, Duffy don't spread it around any more than you do.
Well, what about you, Eddie? Doesn't he give you money every week?
Mr. Hope, any money I get is strictly extracurricular and coincidental.
Well, if I come down there, I have to get together some jokes.
Oh, they don't have to be too funny.
No, the kind you use on Tuesday night, you're all right. Okay.
My jokes would go over your head if you had one.
Oh, no. You don't have to worry about material. You see, Clifton Finnegan is the most brilliant comedy writer in the country.
Oh, this ought to be great. Finnegan, how about giving me a sample of the stuff you write?
All right. I say they call my brother Salmon. Then you say, why do they call your brother Salmon?
How do you like this? I'm playing straight man to a straitjacket. Okay. Why do they call your brother Salmon?
Because every year he goes up the river. I got that joke from my father.
It's all right. Look at the one he got from your mother.
Besides you, Mr. Hope, Archie said we have to get some talent, like a musician.
Well, we got just the man. Oh, Paul. Paul Whiteman.
Yes, Bob.
Come out here, Plasma Bank.
Is this Paul Whiteman?
Of course it is. What does he look like?
One meatball. And he certainly has accentuated his posture.
Yes, yes. Just look at all that Mr. In Between. Say, Paul, how would you like to lead the band at Duffy's Tavern?
I don't think I would.
Oh, you don't have to worry about musicians. Archie play the violin. I play the piano.
Yeah, I play the comb and the tissue paper. Very good.
Yeah, now, what you say, gentlemen? Will you be at Duffy's Tavern next week?
I won't be there.
Neither will I.
Well, goodbye. Come on, Clifton. Let's go back and tell Archie the good news.
Goodbye, Mr. Whiteman. Goodbye, Mr. Goodbye, Hildegard.
Next guest is what the GIs would call a perfect candidate for the Hall of Fame. Take a beautiful face and figure, add some delectable dramatic acting, sweeten it with a little luscious singing, season it with a dash of first-rate dancing, and it all adds up to a highly palatable dish named Janet Blair. Sounds like a chef's salad with legs. Janet is occupying a niche in your Radio Hall of Fame, not only because she happens to be one of the most versatile stars in pictures, but to coin an unoriginal but highly pertinent phrase, she's one of the fastest rising young stars in Hollywood. The rare applause she won from critics for her 14-carat performance in the title role of Columbia's picture production, My Sister Eileen, and in Once Upon a Time, in which she co-starred with Cary Grant, plus nylon quality acting in her latest Technicolor vehicle, Tonight and Every Night, in which she co-stars with Rita Hayworth and Lee Bowman, have swept her into the Hall of Fame's inner circle. Janet is a living personification of the song she introduced in the picture You'd Be So Nice to Come Home To, which gives a completely illogical reason for singing an entirely different ditty called Anywhere.
Carpet
Please, fellas, what union?
Thank you.
Janet?
Yes, Bob?
Gee, you look beautiful.
Oh, thanks, Bob. I appreciate what you say.
That's all right. I appreciate what I see. You know... you know, I kind of go for you.
Oh, Bob, you say that to all the girls.
No, I don't. Just the ones that aren't bald. Gosh, Janet, every time I look at you, something funny goes on inside.
Well, that evens it up, Bob. Nothing funny ever goes on outside.
Just a minute, Miss Blair. I get plenty of laughs.
Yes, and when television comes in, you'll get even more. then everyone can see that suit you're wearing.
There's nothing wrong with this suit, Janet. It's genuine herringbone.
How do you know it's genuine herringbone?
It must be. Every time I walk down the street, the cats follow me with a jar of tartar sauce. Well, let's not talk about my clothes, Janet. Let's talk about me.
Bob, you know, I haven't seen you since the night I appeared on your program.
Isn't this nice getting together again?
Mm-hmm. It's even nicer working for money this time.
That Pepsodent doesn't grow on trees, sister. But, Janet, you must admit we had a lot of fun at that Army camp we played.
Oh, yes, that's true. That's true, Bob.
Remember the trip down in my car?
Mm-hmm. Every time we came to a lonely part of the road, your motor kept stalling.
What's the difference? So did you. Well, anyway, I was sure popular with the soldiers up there.
Oh, yes, I know. They like you, Bob, because, you know, you're a square shooter.
What makes you think they consider me a square shooter?
Well, you see, I met one of them with a pair of dice, and he said he'd love to shoot crap with a square like you.
Oh, I remember. I played with that guy, and he certainly took advantage of me. I wonder where I can sell an M1. Janet, you disappeared right after the show we gave. What happened to you?
Well, I'll tell you, there was a cute soldier who met me at the stage door. Oh, gosh, was he bashful.
Bashful?
Uh-huh. That wolf fell backwards. I'd like to show the people here exactly what he sounded like.
Well, maybe I can help you.
Oh, no, no, no. Now, see, he was an innocent boy. Farm boy.
Farm boy? Well, yeah. That's right down my alley.
Oh, I know, but he was shy and naive.
That's right down my alley.
You know, and I tried to make love to him.
Follow me. I'll show you the alley.
Well, okay, Bob. Now, right. I just stepped off the stage entrance, and there was this soldier staring up at me.
Hello.
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 She never got so far with a girl before.
Well, soldier, I'm glad to see you. Oh, three stripes on your sleeve. So you're a sergeant.
No, I've just been a PFC for 3 years.
Well, tell me, soldier, how come they drafted anything like you?
Well, they may draft Sinatra.
Yeah, but he's only run down physically.
Shit.
Say, soldier, where are you from?
Georgia.
Where's your drawl?
Send him to the laundry.
Oh.
I was born in Idaho and Wyoming.
Idaho and Wyoming?
Yep, 1924, year of the big wind. Gee, you're different. You're different from the girls back home. Look at those toes.
Well, every girl has toes.
Yeah, but you have the same amount on each foot.
Say, have you ever been kissed before?
You mean by girls?
Well, can you think of anything better?
I don't know. With Bossy, I get my hair slicked down at the same time.
Oh, now look, you come close to me.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to take you in my arms and crush you to me.
Well, there's just one thing you got to promise.
What's that?
You got to wipe your lipstick off me afterwards or my sergeant will raise...
Oh, I don't care. Here goes.
Hey, be careful. Now you've done it.
What's the matter?
My good conduct ribbon's on fire.
Got to accentuate the positive feeling. My name's the
negative and latch on to the affirmative. Don't let the mister in between.
Tell me, Mother,
you gotta
tell
spread
me.
Joy to the maximum. Bring gloom down to the minimum and half face the pandemonium. Liable to walk upon the scene. To illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. What did they do just when everything looked so dark? Man, they said we better accept to wait the positive elixir. Mine ain't the negative and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. No, don't mess with Mr. In Between.
There were many reasons that led thousands to choose a Philco refrigerator for their homes. Some were attracted to the advanced features, like the exclusive built-in freezer locker, which made it a new kind of refrigerator, both in appearance and service. Others put their faith in the Philco name, with its reputation for quality and dependability. As the years have passed, time has confirmed their judgments. That freezer locker, for instance, has been a tremendous help in food buying and meal planning. Other features have helped Philco owners make the most of their ration points. But during these days when reliability and service are so important, the quality and precision of Philco manufacture ranks first among its features. Whatever developments may come from the Philco laboratories after victory, they will be backed by the promise of the Philco name, famous for quality the world over. Your Radio Hall of Fame continues after station identification. This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company. This is Philco's Radio Hall of Fame from the Earl Carroll Theater Restaurant in Hollywood, which today applauds Judy Canova, Janet Blair, and the Duffy's Tavern program in the persons of three of its cast, Bob Graham, Eddie Green, and Charlie Finnegan Cantor. And now, once again, our master of ceremonies, in whom his sponsor has faith, his gags will need no charity, Bob Hope.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Your Radio Hall of Fame is a very special niche reserved for one of the most unusual and talented people in show business, Fred Lowry, the amazing whistler, who appears with Horace Heights Orchestra and on Horace's radio programs. Fred Lowry isn't just a man who whistles. He's a fine musical artist whom Fritz Kreisler has honored by especially arranging the Kreisler classic Caprice Viennois for whistling. Look it up. It's right, fellas. Over 1 million people have bought Fred's recorded version of the Indian Love Call, and in the few months since it's been issued, nearly 500,000 more people have purchased his version of Whispering. His amazing repertoire extends from Bach to Stravinsky's Firebird. So here he is, the man who is recognized as perhaps the greatest whistler who ever puckered a lip, Fred Lowry. Fred, after all that buildup, I'd like to check a little on your whistling ability. Now, remember, this is just a check. Now, what is your favorite radio? Oh, you commercial boy. Say, you'll get your check in the morning. Now, who is your favorite radio personality? I said, who is your favorite radio personality? Bob Hope. In whistling, those H's always sound like C's. That'll be enough for your lip. Now look, Fred, if I was walking down the street, Vine Street, and saw a couple of beautiful girls, what do you think I'd do? Suppose a character named Crosby and I saw them.
Yeah.
Lovely. Wolves in harmony, huh? Well, when we whistled, how would the girls respond, Fred? That's the younger girls. But, before we get in any deeper, Fred, how about your showing our listeners just why you're considered the world's greatest whistler with your expert lip music presentation of Holiday for Strings? Wonderful. Into your radio hall of fame, scattering hayseed and timothy grass, saunters the greatest rural comedian in low these 48 states. The most famous rural character around the turn of the century was a pigtail gal named Sis Hopkins, celebrated in cartoon and story. And your nominee is recognized as the only living counterpart of Sis in show business. As a matter of fact, she starred in a picture called Sis Hopkins, along with such box office smashes as Joan of the Ozarks, Scatterbrain, her current hit, Louisiana Hayride, and the proverbial others too numerous to mention. The recordings of her hillbilly yodeling sell like, well, you fill it in yourself, but they're terrific. So without further ado, plugs are built up by courtesy of her sponsor, Colgate Palmolive Pete. We present the star of her own show, Judy Canova.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, folks. You know, as I walked out here a minute ago, I heard that gentleman right over there say, "I'll bet that girl from a farm." Believe it or not, I am. I am. Yo, things pretty rugged back on the farm, too. The coyotes howl all night.
Well, Judy, welcome to California, where the wolves drown them out.
Thanks for the warning, pointy ears. Tell me, Bob, what's new in these parts?
Oh, a terrible accident happened yesterday. W.C. Field slipped and fell in a jukebox.
Goodness, what happened?
Well, for the rest of the day, all the jukebox could play was rum and Coca-Cola. Judy, how are things on the farm?
Oh, just fine. My cousin Matilda had 11 babies, my cousin Ellie had 15 babies, and my cousin Jesse had 16 babies.
Gee, do they like babies that much?
No, but they get a ration book with each one.
That explains a lot of things about Crosby, too.
Bob, you should come up to the farm sometime. You never saw so much corn. No, I take that back. But I tell you, I could show you one of the smartest dogs you ever saw in your life.
You mean he does tricks?
No, he's just smart. Well, once I caught him sitting on the sofa, so I gave him a whipping.
Did that stop him, Judy?
No, but the next time I came home, I knew he'd been on the sofa again because I felt it and it was warm, you see. So I whipped him again. And Bob, That dog was so smart that the next time I came home, I caught him standing by the sofa blowing on it to cool it off.
Now, wait a minute, Judy. That's a little hard to believe.
Why, shucks, that ain't nothing. Well, just a few days ago, one of our hens laid an egg that weighed 14 ounces.
She laid a 14-ounce egg. That's remarkable.
What's so remarkable about it? What else could she do with it? You know, the most fun I had on the farm was back a few weeks ago when the soldiers came out to help us out with the crop.
The soldiers helped with the crop?
Yeah, and it's the first time a lot of them ever picked up a real tomato.
Well, shake hands with a real farmer.
You know, it's wonderful having the boys work on the farm. The other day they gave me a ride in a Jeep, Bob. We bounced all over the place.
Was it rough?
Rough? Now I know why an army travels on his stomach.
Yeah, I've been on so many Jeep rides yesterday. The War Department gave me the order of the purple seat. Say, Judy, do you meet any particular soldier you like?
Yeah, one of them was very cooperative. When we worked in the morning, he was an eager beaver. When we washed the dishes, he was an eager beaver. And then in the evening, I took him into the parlor and turned the lights down low.
What happened?
He was a gold brick at heart. I did meet one feller who went for me. Yes, sirree. He wanted to buy me a certain present, but of course he didn't know if I wanted pink ones or white ones. Maybe even some nice black ones.
Say, he was in a tough spot. What kind did he finally get you?
Oh, he got me a pound of mixed jelly beans. Yes, sir, and then that night he took me for a nice walk in the orange grove.
Orange grove, that must have been romantic.
It was. Before I knew what was happening, he leaped into my arms.
Really?
Yep, that wasn't a bad idea I had, backing him into that smudge pot.
Now I know why the army travels on his stomach.
Why, there's an old friend of mine, Paul Whiteman.
Well, Judy Canova.
How are you, Mr. P.W.?
Oh, I'm fine, Judy.
Bob, Mr. P.W. and I are old friends. We've known each other for a long time.
Yes, we've been through thick and thin.
Of course, since then, he's gotten a little thicker.
Judy, you shouldn't say that. Pop's been on a diet.
Diet? What about the way he rounds out in the middle?
Shh, he's hiding Gravel Gertie's mandolin.
Judy, it's been a long time since we've been together.
Yes, it has. But you know something? I've thought about you an awful lot, especially when my Uncle Zeb had come over to see us.
Really?
Yeah, you see, Uncle Zeb is sort of a one-man band. He ties a cymbal to each leg, puts a drum between his knees, has a tom-tom on each hip, and a harmonica in his mouth.
Judy, what did he do with his hands?
Holds them over his ears. He can't stand the noise.
Well, Judy, how about singing something for us?
Okay, I tell you what I'll do. I'll sing Shortening Bread.
Shortening Bread?
Oh, now, don't worry about it, Bob. I've got Nelson Eddy's permission. All right, start waving that big stick, Mr. P.W. Put on the skillet, put on the lid. Mammy's gonna make a little shortening bread. That ain't all she's gonna do. Mammy's gonna make a little coffee, too. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread. Two little pecan ninnies laying in a bed. He'll crack open like shortening bread. Biscuits cold. So Bud said, but I'm plumb wild about my shortening bread. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread. Every night before going to bed, I run to the cupboard for my shortening bread. Grandma's old. I like it hot. I like it cool. like it cold. I can eat it when it's
Back in 1927, a young fellow named Hoagy Carmichael, who must have been born under a lucky star and whose career has been sprinkled with stardust, wrote a song called Stardust. Over 50 different versions of it have been recorded. Over 10 million recordings have been sold. And that's reason enough for him to be in your Radio Hall of Fame. But besides that, he composed Lazy Bones, Old Rockin' Chair, George on My Mind, and scores of other beautiful melodies. Yes, his career has been sprinkled with stardust. And now he's an actor, a good one. He appeared in The Have and The Have Not with Humphrey Bogart, and the critics loved him, and so did you. And Paul Whiteman, who gave him his first chance to sing professionally in a recording of Hoagy's Washboard Blues, ably abetted by Janet Blair and Bob Graham, pays tribute to the Stardust Kid, Hoagy Carmichael.
Me that short sun, for a tender heart, can't get from this cabin, gone nowhere. Just sit me here, heaven, at the flies of this broken chair. My dear old Aunt Harriet, in heaven she'll be. Send me, sweet chariot, for the end of my trouble I see. Old rocking chair, get this, judgment day is here. Thank you.
sleeping in the sun. How you expect to get your day's work done? Never get your day's work done. Sleeping in the noonday sun. Oh, lazy bones, sleeping in the shade. How you expect to get your cornmeal made? Never get your cornmeal made. Sleeping through the evening shade. When taters need spraying, I bet you keep praying the bugs fall off of the vine. And when you go fishing, I bet you keep wishing fish won't grab at your line. Lazy bones, loafing through the day, how you expect to make a dime that way? Never make a dime that way. Well, look at here. He never heard a word I say.
Mr. Whiteman, and so too quickly for us, and I hope for you, another Philco Radio Hall of Fame hour comes to an end. And with it, the best wishes of Judy Canova, Janet Blair, Fred Lowry, Bob Graham, Eddie Green, Charlie Canner, Paul Whiteman, and yours truly. The tribute to Duffy's Tavern takes on the complexion of a cereal, as next week, one of the successful candidates for your Radio Hall of Fame will be Archie himself, Ed Gardner. Other recipients of your acclaim will be lovely Francis Langford, Nigel Bruce, the Hoosier Hotshots, Alan Reed, better known as Falstaff Openshaw, and Johnny Mercer. This is Bob Hope saying thank you and good day.
This is Jimmy Wallace inviting you on behalf of Philco to be with us next week when from the beautiful Earl Carroll Theater Restaurant in Hollywood, more stars made great by your recognition of their achievements will be brought to you by your Radio Hall of Fame. Bob Hope appeared by courtesy of his sponsor, Pepsodent. is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company.